top.
I don't know. I've been struggling lately. I've had a lot. I guess in the past 10 months or so, I've come to a lot of new awarenesses, I guess, in the sixth step. I'm going to talk about the sixth step first, I think. I've come to some new awarenesses of the sixth step over the past year. So I don't know how much of that is really my experience or how much of it I've internalized. I've heard a lot of real good things about the sixth step. I'm going to try to share some of the new, for me, some of the new ways I've been looking at this step, as opposed to in the past. It's hard. I've done it. I've talked about the sixth step before and just talked about the sixth step. And I'm finding that harder to do as time goes on. It seems like I need to talk about particularly steps 1 through 5 as a part of the sixth step. I know when I attend meetings, step meetings, and I hear the sixth step talked about, I tend to hear a lot about character defects. We tend to be able to talk. I guess it doesn't take a whole lot of experience in recovery to talk about our defects, you know, and you go to step meetings and you hear a lot about people talking about defects. I think one of the things that we don't hear a lot about is what it means to be entirely ready, what is the relationship between oneself and God in respect to being prepared and having God remove these things. I don't think we hear as much about as we do the defects. And I'm going to try to talk about that, what it means to be entirely ready. When I think about, being entirely ready, we were entirely ready, I can start with the first step. And I can see how the admittance of my powerlessness over my addiction and the unmanageability of my life is a part of becoming entirely ready. It starts there. And moving right on into the second step, involving myself in the process of coming to believe, building a belief system, opening my mind to a belief system and having that, evolve into trust, faith, and acceptance. Is all a part of becoming entirely ready. And then certainly, making a commitment, to take action based on that belief is also a part of becoming entirely ready. I think what's real important is 4 and 5 in relationship to 6. Right off the bat, I can't really deal with these things if I don't know what they are, my defects. Step 4 is about, beginning the process of identifying these different aspects of my personality and my character. That's real important, I think, in relationship to 6. In 5, there's a lot about 5 that I like. In relationship to step 6. One of the things about 5 is 5 talks about the exact nature of our wrongs. We take an inventory in 4 and then in 5 we start to hone in, get more specific about these things. Talk about the exact nature of our wrongs. And that doesn't necessarily mean a rehash of 4, and that's real important. And I used to think that 4 and 5 were 6. That's how I approached 4 and 5. The first two times that I did a 4 and 5, I approached them as they were 6. I expected to be freed from these aspects of my personality when I wrote them down and then shared them with another human being. I thought I wasn't going to suffer from them anymore. You know, and you hear a lot about that. I think a lot of us experience it that way. And what I'm realizing today is that, you know, 4 and 5 for me are, yes, they are about experiencing some freedom. I think there is some freedom. I know I experienced some freedom in 4 and 5 just from the fact that these things were out in the open. Another human being knew about them. I didn't feel so alone, so different, you know, that I was the only one that, you know, felt this way or did these things. But I think the real importance in the inventory processes was the awareness, you know, becoming aware of these things, owning them, saying that this is me, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, this is who I am. And I think 5 begins a process of acceptance. You know, I think step 5, I think the real purpose, the way I'm looking at it today anyway, what's important to me today is that step 5 is the beginning of accepting who I am and what I found in my inventory. You know, I used to look at 5 as a dumping process. You know, I had all this stuff that came out before and I wanted to get rid of it. And I thought by sharing another with another human being, it was no longer mine. I didn't have to, you know, it wasn't going to follow me around anymore. But I think it's just the opposite. I think it's an acceptance process. It's a way of accepting what I found in step 4. Admittance, you know, the word admittance. We admit it to God, to ourselves, and another human being. I think admittance, the importance of the word admittance appears a number of times in the steps. The importance of the word admittance is as a part of an acceptance process. The acceptance process begins with an admittance, you know, just as in the first step, and at that initial admission of my powerlessness over my addiction, admitting that I'm an addict and I have a disease of addiction and my life is unmanageable, was the beginning of a lifelong process of coming to an acceptance of that. It's a lifelong process, accepting the first step. And I'm still in the process of accepting the first step. I've been clean for 9.5 years. So I think 5 begins a process that, in a sense, culminates in 7 with a state of humility and a request, you know, or petition for the removal, you know, of the shortcoming. You know, actually, the process began with 1. Becoming entirely ready, it's becoming completely powerless. Letting God become completely powerful, you know, through my powerlessness. Another way that I willingness, you know, is the key to this step. It's the traditional way that, you know, this step is looked at and it's written about, and I believe that's, you know, definitely true. You know, it is a step of willingness. But one way that I never looked at this step and was and I was enlightened to this over the past year is humility. The role that humility plays in the sixth step. I always looked at humility, of course, as the important principle in 7, but I never saw the relationship of humility to 6, and that's become real important to me recently, is the role that humility plays. In a sense, becoming entirely ready is a state of humility. We're moving in the direction of becoming humble. You know, if humility is what I need, is what is the requirement in 7 for me to ask for these things and be removed, then it only makes sense that 6 must also be a process of becoming humble and moving towards that humility. Because 6 is, one of the things that I think 6 is it's a preparation for 7. You know, it's not the only thing that I think 6 is about, but I think one of the things that it's about is it's a preparation for seven. So therefore, it is a process of, through willingness, a process of becoming humble. So the state of entirely ready can mean a state of humility, a state of powerlessness, a state of acceptance. This has become real important to me because the way that I approached the sixth step for so long was in pleading or begging for these things to be removed, in desperation and fear. Coming from desperation and fear, I would beg and plead, you know, in a state of excruciating pain to have these things removed. And then soon as I was out of trouble, the old behavior would immediately return. I would forget. I would forget where I had come from. And I would start doing the same things over again. That's not humble. That, I don't think, is necessarily a place of being entirely ready. I think what entirely ready is it's a state of preparation. It's being prepared. You know, it's coming from faith and trust that these things can be removed and that God will remove them. And that faith and that trust is based on a firm foundation in the steps before. And that's what I didn't have before. I didn't have that before. So I was approaching this step from desperation and fear. And this is a state of preparation when you think of being ready. You know, I think of being prepared. You know, that's real important. You know, I think for me that's one of the keys right now in my understanding of six. I think entirely ready also can be looked at as a state of anonymity. You know, I don't know if I can describe that in words, but I know that when I've felt, or when I've had an awareness of being ready, the state of anonymity seems to be there. Anonymity seems to be there. You know, I think it has something to do with that. My defects, you know, I think it is important to share about our defects. It is a part of this step. I approached my defects in a very violent manner, in a sense, for many, many years. I would tend to either beat myself up with my defects or indulge myself in them, wallow in them. Both are a reflection of fear, desperation. I think both are the same manifestations of the same thing. They're just on opposites, on the opposite ends. You know, I would run from my defects, deny them. You know, there's different ways of averting aversion. Denial is a form of aversion, running from something, trying to annihilate them, my defects. A hammer or a club, just trying to beat them out of myself. Or just saying, fuck it. You know, and running with them. What I failed to do, was to look at them squarely. You know, squarely attempt to look at them for what they were and come to an acceptance of them. And see that, they fulfill a need. My defects have always fulfilled a need. They probably stem from a need. They are, in a sense, an inappropriate or an inadequate attempt at coping, at surviving. I don't even know if inadequate or inappropriate is always the correct term, because, in a sense, they were successful. In that they kept me alive. They allowed me to cope for a period of time. I say inadequate or inappropriate in the sense that as long as they dominate me, I cannot fulfill my potential as a human being. And that's where my suffering stems from. You know, being something that I'm not. Not being who I am. we're not moving in the direction, in that direction, what the sixth step is about, moving in a direction. Entirely ready is, it's entirely ready. The word entire is, it's a pretty absolute term. It's an ideal. It's talking about perfection, and that screws with a lot of us. You know, why are we faced here with a step that's telling us something that's absolute? It's giving us something that's perfection when we're told that we don't have to be perfect, and that we're not perfect. You know, and that addiction, a lot of what addiction was about was perfectionism, you know, and intolerance. I think one of the reasons that the sixth step is in those terms is that I know that I have a tendency to sell myself short, you know, and I think that this step is talking about a lifelong process, and that in order to keep moving in that along that line for a lifetime, the goal needs to be set high. You know, a lot of people check out at six. I think a lot of people check out at six. I think that's why there's a shortage in a lot of places in the fellowship of people with time, because a lot of people check out. Hey, I got mine. I got what I came for. I'll see you guys later. I'm finished. You know. And check out at six. You know. So I think that's one of the things that's important about that. You know, realizing that I can set these goals high. I can look to perfection. I can look to God as perfection. I can look to spiritual principles and ideals as perfection. And I can strive towards that without being perfectionistic. I can give myself a break. I can be human. You know, and I can still look towards these things. And I can measure my progress in relationship to that. You know. When I got here, I was like a cartoon character. There was a one-dimensional quality to my personality. I was a shallow person, you know. I thought my defects gave me character, and that's one of the fears I still have today. What am I going to become? What am I going to turn into as these defects are removed? Am I going to lose Bob? Well, the reality of it is that my defects, you know, do not do that. They do the opposite. They rob me. You know, coming to terms with my true self. You know, and you know, looking at it in that light is important. It's part of becoming entirely ready. It's important to remember that God does the removing. You know, my job is to become ready, become prepared. You know, it's a team effort. I look at it like as a team effort. You know, faith has a lot to do with it. My faith that God can do the removing will nurture and sustain my willingness to continue to move in that direction. You know, this is a step and tradition meeting, and I don't know if I can tie these two together or not. If it happens, it happens. The thing about spiritual principles is that they exist in abundance. All the things in life that are really important and really beautiful exist in abundance, like air and water. You know, we don't put a lot of monetary value on them. We put monetary value on things that there are very, very little of. you know, if something, if there isn't much of something and all of a sudden it's worth a lot of money, you know, the things that are in abundance don't generally, we don't generally value in a material sense. But those are the things that are really valuable. Where would I be without any air or water? You know, I think, you know, society might be coming to some realizations of that as the environment, as we start using up our environment, but spiritual principles are like that. There's a lot of them. I believe that. I'm one of the people that believes that there's a lot of spiritual principles, and that they're all interconnected. You know, and that these steps and traditions are all somehow interconnected. You know, I believe that, you know, all the spiritual principles are a manifestation of one underlying truth. I'm not going to try to define what that is, but I believe that. And I believe that they manifest in different ways for a reason. Because this is a program that is a practical program that we need to utilize in our lives, and we need a set of tools, and we need different tools for different situations. You know, and that's why we have all these different principles, so that we can live. That's how, you know, life, I believe that's how the world works. But underneath, they're all the same underlying truth. So there has to be a connection between step three and step six and tradition six. You know, tradition six talks about how we stay on course, how we stay on course to fulfill our primary purpose. Well, right there, I can see, you know, how step six is a step of staying on course. You know, the process is taking place in 1 through 5, and 6 is the step that says, okay, now just stay on course. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't check out. Keep moving. You know, there really isn't any new, and necessarily any new direction given in 6. You know, like all the steps before that, there's always kind of like each step, there's this brand new direction that you get, like in 1, and then 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, it's real specific, real clear-cut new direction. But in 6, I don't know, it's kind of vague, you know. Maybe 6 is just like, keep going on, keep doing 1 through 5, and then get prepared to move on to 7 through 12, you know. And, like, you know, I could see a connection. I don't know if I'm trying to force this or not, but I see a connection there with tradition 6. You know. And I don't necessarily know if that's real important or not. Or if it's, real profound. Or, you know, it's necessarily going to open a lot of doors for my recovery. But I see a connection there. You know, the thing that I like about 6, one of the things that I focus in on 6 is the word problems. I think we forget, I know that I attend a lot of meetings and we talk about, and I hear a lot of people talk about this tradition, but we don't tend to look at the word problems. We look at money, property, and prestige as something that's being bad. Or something as money, property, and prestige inherently are evil. And they're not. It says problems of money, property, and prestige. You know, I think that's important. I think that ties into our whole concept of addiction. You know, and the philosophy of NA is drugs not necessarily really being the problem. Part of the problem. But really at the root of the problem is our reaction to drugs. You know, and when I take a chemical, something happens to me. Somebody else might be able to take that chemical and nothing happens to me. I have to remember that. You know. And I have to remember that I am susceptible to problems with money, property, and prestige. I have trouble handling those things. I have trouble seeing those things for what they are. and allowing them to be what they are. I tend to look for those things to give me what they are not here to give me. There's a tie-in on a personal note with the tradition. The group, however, needs to stay clear of that stuff. The way we do that is by not endorsing, financing, or lending our name to anything else. By not trying to be something we're not. There's a good one. There's a good tie-in, I guess, for six. You know? I think six is about becoming who I am. Learning who I am. Through the removal of my defects, I come to terms with my true self. You know, I spend a lot of time trying to be something I'm not. As soon as an NA group lends its name, finances, or endorses something else, it becomes something it is not. And when we become, as soon as we stray from our primary purpose, we are no longer who we are. We're trying to be something we're not. You know. And then the problems of property and prestige and money then follow that. It's like night follows day. No, the state of being entirely ready, you know, back to six. Can't think of the words I want to use. State of being entirely ready. It doesn't mean that these things, if they're removed, that they can't return. Necessarily. You know, I think what it means is that in degrees the defects are removed. You know. Well, I guess I've shared everything that I need to share this morning. Thanks for listening.
I just want to open the floor for discussion. Anybody like to share?
Yeah, I can take some
more. If you'd like to.
Yeah, I'd like to start out by thanking Bob for what he shared. And I think I got a lot out of what you said. You didn't say anything new, but what you said was real important. Helped straighten my head and my feelings out. You know, that's why I'm here. I'm here to learn, not to teach. Becoming entirely ready. You know, to have our, you know, to remove all our defects of character. That's a living process for me. Like to say, I like the way you presented it, the practical application of the fifth step and a preparation for the seventh step. You know, I like the steps have numbers on them. helps me and my sponsor out a lot. You know, I'd be all over the place. The sixth tradition, you know, it's real important. I know for our group, you know. We really have to focus on the sixth tradition at times because we can get pulled way out of line. You know, we've found ourselves getting mixed up with problems of money, property, and prestige that was actually in the fellowship, you know, by however not applying to our particular group, you know, and have had to use that sixth step and apply it to get back to our sixth tradition, rather, and get back to our fifth tradition. Our primary purpose was to carry a message, not to, you know, straighten out or violate anybody else's fourth tradition. And it helped us out. You say, being who and what you are, we're a Narcotics Anonymous group. You know, we're not a law enforcement agency or judiciary committee or anything like that. And we don't have to function like that. And that's a great freedom. And it was real important
what you said right at the end, you know, really touched me when you said about becoming entirely ready to have our defects removed doesn't mean they will never be there, they'll never come back. Because I know that sort of thing has come too close to taking me out the door at times. You know, I get into that denial. I dealt with that already. You know, I worked on that step, you know, and it just didn't apply. I have to live in today. And if a defect, you know, really presents itself, comes up real short in my life on any given day, you know, the six steps don't go anywhere. I have it today. I can, if I choose to, become ready again. I don't have to deny the defect. It's there, you know, it's real. You know, we learn to live in reality, you know, what it really is, you know, not what is, what we think should be. And it's given me a lot of freedom in my life just to be able to do that. And I don't have a whole lot more to say, and there's other people here. Thank you.
Sure.
My name's Kathy, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Kathy.
And I don't want this to be a men's stag, so I'm going to get up here. The sixth step for me was exceedingly difficult because of that first word, entirely. You know, I remember telling my sponsor at the time that I had never been entirely ready to do anything except get loaded. And this is a step where I really had to like start acting as if, and I remember my sponsor telling me that, you know, to put aside the absolute, you know, to take into consideration how my defects of character were keeping me away from being of service and separating me from the group. And I think that that's what addiction does primarily in our lives, is it separates us from our higher power and our fellows, and that it was time for me to get on in my life and to become, you know, part of life instead of always the dope fiend, you know, and always trying to think like my best was never good enough, that I had to, like, rely on some manipulative means behind fear and self-loathing, you know, to get through my life, and that this is where my faith started to really take some action. The money, property, and prestige in the tradition we're discussing, first of all, the traditions have become manifest in my personal recovery. They were only for the group when I got here, and now they have like taken on new aspects in my own life, and I have experienced personally money, property, and prestige diverting me from my primary purpose, which is to recover and to be of service to my fellows. And and I think that that's something that we all wrestle with after we've been here for a while, because we try so hard to achieve what society says is a good life. And through one more time, not feeling like we are enough, like we are inherently enough or have even a right to be breathing, we strive through the process of gathering material things in our lives to almost validate who we are in society's eyes. And I've had to like step back and make personal decisions on what exactly is important in Kathy's life. And how does acquiring money, property, and prestige divert me from what I ultimately want to do, which is, you know, to celebrate my life and to be a part of the life process and to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Bob mentioned that, you know, a lot of people fall out of the recovery process around six, and that's something I've experienced, you know, in the fellowship, is that a lot of people that I've sponsored, you know, are quite willing, you know, to run through 1 through 5, or if not willing, at least, you know, we all have a tendency to look for that immediate relief, you know, and going through 4 and 5 gives us that immediate relief of being accepted by a sponsor or whoever we choose to share that with. And then having got the immediate relief, you know, we stop. And over again, I've had people I sponsor stop after the 5th step, and there is a delineation in clean time. When you attend meetings, you will see that the period of clean time between like 5 and 10 years becomes less and less. You'll see a few people with a lot of time clean and gobs of newer people, but the people in the intermediate areas, you know, fall away. And and I think that, you know, the recovery process, you know, has to be ongoing and has to be continuous. You can't just stop because, you know, the pain becomes too great and our egos are such that it's very difficult after we've been here for a while to walk back into rooms and say, hey, you know what, it's like, you know what, I'm oozing. My life is a mess. I'm half insane. I've been here for so many years and it fucking hurts. And I remember specifically, personally, that, you know, when I was about 5 years old, I became very aware of the fact that I was sitting in these meetings, A, pissed off, and B, terrified. Now, I do, but that's not a real comfortable way to live covering life, you know, still feeling separated and angry, frustrated, and feeling like you shouldn't do those things. And you've had a lot of difficulty, like the 6th, 7th, 8th, 10th, and 11th. Is it you're giving it away and process of, and, you know, and be, but for sharing a step around the West Coast for a while now, and he's real special to me personally. So thank you all for being here. Thanks for letting me share.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Meryl, and I'm an addict. Hi, everybody. Bob, I'm really sorry I missed you. Boy, a couple weeks ago, I called somebody, and I was just, I had it with myself. I was just totally, I can't stand myself. I can't stand these defects anymore, and I just was at a point where I really, really wanted to use. And a friend of mine suggested that I call Bob and talk to him because a lot of what I was talking about was apparently some things that Bob went through, and I haven't done that, but this might be a good chance after the meeting to get with him. But I guess like most of us, I kind of went through my steps just to kind of get through them at some of the time. I've been through the 6 and 7 steps. And I've went on, and recently in the past couple of months, I found that I have to go back because I just kind of skimmed the surface of it. What I really needed to work on and surrender, I did, but I had a very, very difficult time with the 6th step. I immediately tried to work it right after doing a 5th step, and it took me like over a year just to get just a little bit of what it's about. And the awarenesses that I've gotten recently are just so much greater than what I thought and how to work this step. And I've really been struggling with the willingness, and I just don't know where to get it from, how to really show God that, yeah, I'm really willing because I am in so much pain. I've been around for a while and I've had these defects that just kick my butt, and I keep doing it, and I keep doing it and repeating it, and it's like, yes, insanity is repeating the same mistakes, but I keep repeating them, and I know it's insane, but I don't know how to stop. I don't know what to replace it with, and I really find myself in a bad place. I want to be abusive with my children because I don't know what else to do. And I want to hurt myself, and I realize that certain defects about me I hate, and I cannot accept them. And I know that's the whole problem, is I can't accept these things. Most of my person I can accept and I love, and I've learned how to love myself through these rooms. But my butt's really been kicked the past couple months because God has given me such an awareness of who I am and mostly things that I don't like, things that I thought I worked on, things that I thought I took care of in the fourth and fifth step. But it's a never-ending process. You know, just because I worked on it a little bit the year or two before or at some point in my recovery doesn't mean it goes away. My defects don't go away. Some of them, thank God, have been lifted from me. They're just gone. But most of them, you know, they're here. They're me. They're the person I am. And some of them I freaking hate. I hate them so much that I would just like, I mean, if I could reach down inside me and pull them out violently, I would love to do that. But it's really painful, and it's really hard to surrender something that you can't accept about yourself. And I really have a hard time loving myself at those times and loving my parents and my childhood and accepting all that, because that kind of brings everything back up again. Well, this is their fault. If they didn't do that for me or this didn't happen, I wouldn't feel like this. I would know how to handle myself. And I am very, very hard on myself. I am extremely hard on myself. And I think I should be the perfect mother, the perfect worker, the, you know, wife and the whole bit. I should be pretty damn close to perfection with everything. And if I'm not, then, well, you're just fucked up. You're not doing a good job. But I'm one who lingers on my defects also. I know I have assets, but they're like over here. These defects that I'm constantly consumed with because they come up so much. And I've really gotten a sense that I really need to move on spiritually. I need to move on in the steps, and I really need to get into them on a more deeper, intimate level. That a lot of the things I worked on at the time, I needed to. But it's also time to work on it some more. And I guess I'm really in need of some more spiritual guidance. I have a wonderful sponsor who I love dearly, who helps me very, very much. But in the area I'm from, there is a lot of people, and there is a lot of people with clean time, but I am one of the women that have the most clean time. And I feel, I don't want to make this sound the wrong way, but I'm not real comfortable talking to somebody with 3 days clean about, you know, my fucked up parts. I like, it's hard for me to reach out. It's still hard for me to make phone calls. It's like I'm going to use or beat one of my children. Yeah, I'll pick up the phone. And I have very good relationships with my sponsorees and my sponsor. But I really need some more. I need some more people in my life. And it's very hard to, like, call somebody out in California that I have no idea who they are and just, like, blah, you know, throw all this stuff up on them. But, you know, maybe this is my purpose today. Maybe this is the purpose for me being at this convention, to just kind of just listen and share and just, you know, try and find people that I could share these things with and get probably the same answers that I'm hearing from my sponsor, but maybe in a different way that, you know, that light bulb needs to go off. And, you know, like when you're working a step and all of a sudden the light bulb goes off and, you know, I'm really doing this, I'm really practicing this in my life. Well, you know, that's what I kind of feel like needs to happen to me. And I know I'm in the right place. I know I'm probably in the right meeting. And I feel a lot better just sharing already. But thank you for listening. Love you. Thanks.
Sure. My name is Bill. I'm an addict. I'm a newcomer with 7 weeks this time around. I've been trying to make one step meeting after another. I'm trying to work 12 steps in one day. But I've been thinking about this step, but when I was missing Bob speak up in my room trying to get through to my other half on the phone, and it seems to me like there's a step missing between 5 and 6. It's just an idea. When I came into the room, my first step was I had to admit I'm powerless over my disease and that my life had become unmanageable. I know someday, hope with the help of God, I'm going to work a fourth step, moral inventory, and a fifth step, admitting this crap to somebody else. Then I'm going to go on to the sixth step and I'm going to go and say, God, please remove these defects of character. But it can't be that simple, because looking at my defects of character, I know that I'm as addicted to my defects of character as I am to drugs. I'm as addicted to sex. I'm as addicted to wanting to sleep when I shouldn't. I'm as... These defects of character, I guess I've got to sit down and read the whole step better, because I'm sure it must be saying this. I'm missing something, and that's that my life is unmanageable, just as it was on the first step, when I'm looking and trying to think about this sixth step, because I am really, honest to God, used to, like as Merrill said, I hate these parts of me, I want to reach down and rip them out. But I hated those parts of my addiction, wanted to reach down and rip them out. But I lived with them anyway. People, like, I'm an addict. I like pain. I like suffering. I like to be miserable. Left to my own, I will be. And I've got to figure out why these defects of character, to me, or to any human being, because, you know, why I'm addicted to them. They're a part of me. They're a part I don't want to surrender. And that's all I wanted to share. Thanks for letting me be here.
Thanks, Chairman. Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time before we close my career just for today.